Adam Lepp here, back from scenic and beautiful Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, live from the Heinz History Center, downtown Pittsburgh, where it's a little snowier than it is in Ohio, but that's okay. It's nice and warm here. The staff has been very accommodating. We have a special guest with us. We're celebrating the legacy of the late, great Mr. Fred Rogers, again, the gentleman that I grew up watching, who still has a major impact to this day. And I'm very privileged to have a special guest this hour. This gentleman's name is Walt Tseng. He lives in Phoenix currently, but he is a longtime resident of nearby Cleveland, Ohio. He was a photographer for Mr. Rogers for many years and is the gentleman who photographed the image that we're going to see on this stamp when it gets unveiled tomorrow. Walt, thank you so much for joining us. What a privilege.
Pleasure to be here, and a privilege as well.
Again, I never met Mr. Rogers. What a privilege if I would have. And, of course, you work with him for many years as his photographer.
Yes, at least 15.
I guess the first question people ask whenever you have a brush with a celebrity, what was he like? From what I've heard, he's just like he was on the show, and just the most down-to-earth, just a guy you could talk to about anything.
He was the most honest person a person could ever meet. What he was on the show is what he was in real life.
So he couldn't run. He couldn't run for office, could he? He's just too honest.
Oh, I wish he could.
I wish he was an office holder, but I guess, yes. Joking aside, just a very honest man and just someone you can talk to like a best friend you've known your whole life, or like a grandpa or an uncle figure, which he was to me.
Well, one of the most disarming qualities was that he allowed you to talk about yourself. And most of us, when we're having a discussion with somebody, our next thought is, how are we going to answer the question, and what are we going to say about ourselves?
Right.
Fred always directed the conversation back to you. So you had to be prepared to finish your thoughts and to continue the conversation, because he wanted to know more about you than he ever wanted to tell you about himself.
Right. So his concept that you are special, that we're all different, but we're all humans, and your unique qualities make you wonderful, make you special. That really is how he felt, and I think we need more of that in this world. It just what a wonderful thought, and someone who enriched my life when I was a kid, and still does to this day, the influence that he has.
When you said we need more of that in this world, that's the understatement of the year.
Exactly.
Yes, it really is. Yeah, he was beautiful. One of the books, we've done many books for him, and one of the books we did was called Who Am I? And we featured a young Afro-American girl. She was about 5 years old, and we had fitted her up with a hearing aid. All right, she wasn't deaf, but the idea was to show that even though you're different,
exactly.
You are who you are. And we spent about four or five weeks doing the book. It was fairly involved, and we involved her grandfather, mother, father, friends, and in the playground and a lot of different scenarios. And for a five-year-old, that was kind of disarming. Their attention span is about, a minute?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah, on a good day, about a minute. So what we learned was that Fred was excellent at picking subjects and knowing how to present them and write the scenarios that would fit the theme. The other was, my main job was to make sure that there were plenty of coconut popsicles, all right, because they're white and they don't stain your clothes.
Right.
And having a wad full of ones so you can bribe a kid.
I guess with Mr. Rogers, too, I think in person he would be a pretty funny guy. It never took anything too seriously, and that's kind of the philosophy that I use. But I could just see Mr. Rogers, someone you could just talk to for hours, and you could tell jokes, you could ask him a question about anything, and he would have a story to tell you, no matter what you brought up. And you would just, no matter what happened, no matter what the story was about, you would just feel good inside after talking to him and hearing the story.
Right, yeah. He took everything very seriously, but not the extrapolations, not the extras.
Exactly.
But life he took seriously. I've heard that people considered him a workaholic. His pace was just as well done in his real life as it was. He had time for his family. He swam every morning. And his pace was, if it was frantic, he hit it very, very well.
He was a minister also.
He was a minister, yes. Now, the stories that I hear of being in Phoenix, oh, Mr. Rutledge, I heard he was a sniper in the Marines, and he started, and he became a minister.
Urban legends that are,
yeah. He didn't want to kill people. And he has tattoos on his arm, and I said, absolutely not. He wasn't even in the service. He had an aviator's license, but he was never in the service. He went from college right into working for, I think, Kate Smith on NBC.
I mean, Walt, your photographic work is excellent. I mean, that stamp, it is beautiful. I mean, a biased opinion, certainly, but it is such a good picture, and the expression is perfect. Have you been interested in photography your whole life? Is it run in the family of photographers?
I sketched and drew as a kid. I was always interested in drawing and painting. And my grandfather was an artist, and he used to teach me how to paint Arizona landscapes. It just occurred to me I ended up in Phoenix. That's a coincidence. But he taught me how to use oil paints. And I went to Carnegie Mellon as a painter and graphic design major. And in my sophomore year, I had a photo class. It was my first photo. I never had an interest before that in photography. But I had a photo class, and I looked into the viewfinder of the camera the first time. I dropped out of school. I went into the service, and I was in there for 3 years as a Signal Corps photographer. And I was in Europe doing photojournalism for the Stars and Stripes. So how I swung that being in the Army is like, I still can't fathom how that possibly happened.
So you're an artist and photographer.
Yes.
A man of many skills.
I enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard work. I know me. It's like I say I have a talking voice, not a singing voice. I certainly respect anybody who's in the arts. It's not easy. It's not something I have a big natural talent for. So, you know, I know what I can do, what I can't do. And photography, yes, anybody can take a picture. And again, you're talking about, as we said before, but before the age of selfies and camera phones and all this fancy stuff you can stick in your pocket. But it does take a person with excellent creative talent to take a quality photograph, and one that's enduring, and you really do notice it. And again, the one chosen for the stamp, there's an example of it. Another obvious question, Walt, how did you get the job? I mean, what an honor being Mr. Rogers' photographer. How did you get that job? We didn't have Craigslist and Twitter back in the days that you got the position. So how did you come about doing that job?
Well, back when I started in the late 60s and I got involved in the early 70s, we used to visit clients that we wanted to work with. I had a friend, I went to Carnegie Mellon, and I had a designer friend that was working at WQED as in their design department. So she invited me over to show my photographic work, and I had a few assignments for the design department. I used to work with them. And consequently, I met Mr. Rogers through them. She said, would you like to go up and meet Fred? I said, sure.
Yeah. Oh, that would be wonderful.
And I showed my work, and I've always been people-oriented in my work. And I've done special effects, you know, some crazy 56-page layouts of, special effects work before digital. But I really was at home on the street, at home with shooting janitors and executives. And so I met Fred, and our first assignment he was doing a series on my first visit to the doctor, my first airplane ride, my first trip to the zoo. So we were doing video cassettes of images with Fred and the family at the airport. We went to the airport and photographed the pilot, and a stewardess there. With the family, went to the hospital and photographed the doctor and the nurse. And so there was a whole series on places to go for the first time. And then the next series was on emotions like anger, fear, and love. And I'm going to tell a story here. All right? I've been debating. I wanted to ask David about even saying this, but it says so much about how Fred and I connected. My first studio was a little bar in Wilmerding. All right? It was a real dumb place, and I had Fred and his people there. And we were doing one on love. I hope I don't get shot for this, but...
That's okay.
But Fred was in the makeup room being made up, and I put the king and the queen on a light stand. And it was the 60s, the era of love and, all that. And there were a few people in the studio, and I took a pencil, And I put it under King Friday's skirt.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. And I'm thinking, and these people are looking at me, and I'm going, this is probably my last photo shoot.
Well, it was anatomically correct, though. I guess, I mean, that was the idea.
So, yeah, I expected that to be the last time I'd see Fred. Well, Fred came out, and he looked down at the king, and he says, my King Friday, aren't we feeling amorous this morning?
Yeah, I said, I'm sure Mr. Rogers had a great sense of humor. And unexpected, you wouldn't think about that, but he was so sharp. He was so quick-witted that he would say that, and just with the right timing, I would be on the floor laughing.
I can just imagine
that occurring, as long ago as it was, yeah.
We bonded. That was the bond that brought us together.
Yeah, sometimes it's an event like that that just shows two people are meant to work with each other, yeah. And that just is wonderful.
Yeah, one of the things, it actually interrupted a shoot, one of the, probably the best career compliment I ever had was, well, Fred didn't like to have his picture taken, his portraits, those sessions he didn't like, but he said, well, as long as we're shooting, I always have fun. And he said, well, you're the only photographer I give myself to. And my tear, I couldn't see the image anymore, it just brought tears to my eyes when he said that. And it meant so much. We connected. Yeah,
so for someone who was on TV all the time, he didn't like the photographs, or he just kind of wanted to do a show and...
Well, no, when he had a program, you know, when he had a venue, something, you know, his show, it wasn't about him, it was about the kids. But when you're doing portraits, it's really about you, you know?
Right, so just his being so unselfish, which is what I did see with him.
Yeah, you can't see enough good things about the guy. You really can't, you know, he was like just a super person.
I don't know if you have children or grandchildren.
I do.
But, were they Mr. Rogers fans? And what do you think about Grandpa and Dad being a person who worked with Mr. Rogers for so many years?
Oh, it's like kids are the hardest people to impress, all right? They're impressed now. I'm getting my 15 minutes of fame here with, you know, having photographed Fred. It's part of my job, and I'm being fortunate to have this happen. And I do feel fortunate. And the best I could say with my kids, my two oldest boys, they used to dive across the table in the living room to get to the TV when Fred came on. And they loved them. You know, and my other kids are a little bit too old, you know, to have had that same reaction to them. But yeah, my kids loved them.
What was it like being chosen as the photographer who provided the photo for that stamp? I know there were like 20,000 commemorative stamp possibilities, and Mr. Rogers chosen, and I, again, as a lifelong fan, someone whose influence remains to this date, it's well-deserved. I can't think of anybody right now who's, again, biased opinion, but anybody who's more deserving of a commemorative stamp than Mr. Rogers. But what did it feel like when your work was chosen to be on that stamp? That would just be amazing.
Yeah, it's more about how I felt about Fred being chosen, you know. I enjoyed the work. My joy is in my work. I have a lot of awards, and they don't really, that's not what is important to me.
Right, so just your unselfish nature is a lot like Mr. Rogers.
I'm happy to be, and you know, I get to come back to Pittsburgh. That's good, under really nice circumstances.
Yeah, just thinking Phoenix to Pittsburgh, what a change in the weather.
I came by land with a polo shirt and sandals on.
Yeah, and in Ohio we had an inch or two of snow. They had 10 feet in parts of the city here, so
right,
quite
right.
A difference. So. What's it like living in Phoenix? It's a different culture, different weather?
Well, I went off of my antidepressant meds within 2 weeks.
Right. I know you're a native of Cleveland.
Yeah, well, I actually was born in Pittsburgh, and I moved to Cleveland in 1990.
Then you moved to Phoenix.
Then I moved to Phoenix, yeah, in 2011.
So definite change in the weather from two cities with four seasons and an ample amount of snow.
Yeah, it took me...
To the desert southwest with 100 degrees low humidity.
Yeah, it took me a good half hour to adapt.
Yeah. Are you still actively doing photography work and art and artistry and drawing?
I am not. I kind of lost my taste for photography when it became impersonal. I used to enjoy going to different cities, you know, with my book and meeting the people that I was buying the photograph for. And then I started getting calls, oh, we'll check your work out online. I said, well, the work's going to be okay, but what if you don't like me? You know, what if I don't like you? I said, part of the success of a, you know, of your career is working with people that you understand and you like. And it became too impersonal. And other things I got involved too. I was getting older, all right? And there were a lot of young photographers coming out that were really adapted to the digital. You know, to me, the digital kind of made it.
There really is a difference with the camera taking print photos only and everything now being digital. And again, not to mention the selfies and the Instagram. I mean, that's a whole another topic. Well, but the photography just has changed so much. And is it for the better? I mean, yeah, you can, on your smartphone, you have two high-resolution cameras.
The only thing that changed was the craftsmanship, all right? The camera, the digital system, it is a master of craftsmanship.
Right, I agree.
The color balance and exposure and whatnot, but it can't come up with an idea. All right, ideas are generated by the human mind, not a camera.
Right, and a great photographer like yourself just captures the moment. The old expression we know, the cliche, a picture's worth a thousand words. And a gifted photographer like yourself captures that. In fact, it might be worth 10,000 words. And anybody can be a photographer. Every smartphone has a camera, two cameras, that are all, you know, one on each side. It takes decent photos, but that doesn't instantly make you a Walt Tseng.
No, it's a
gift that you have, and again, with education and experience, and the fact that you photograph people like Mr. Rogers, that helps also, because you're capturing his personality in the photographs.
It's like any art. You can clank out chopsticks on the piano. Pretty much anybody can do that.
Right.
No, but you're not. You can't play Mozart. You can cook an egg and fish. All right, but you can't prepare a gourmet meal.
Exactly.
We all have the skills, but the artist is when the spirit kicks in, and then the skill becomes
the
magical.
The piano student and Billy Joel and Elton John play the same instrument, but there are differences. And even if they play the same song, you will notice that. And it might be subtle, it might not be.
Right. But the piano and the camera don't change. They stay the same.
Right, it's the same.
The person.
It's the same, without question.
Yeah.
What other famous people have you photographed, Walt, besides Mr. Rogers?
I did the Marcellus, went Marcellus family. The whole family was at the station.
And Branford, as a musician also. Yeah, the whole family is musically gifted.
Yes, Yo-Yo Ma, Big Bird.
Big Bird. See, I love Sesame Street, too. So Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch, probably my favorites.
Yeah, Big Bird was the toughest because that costume weighed so much.
And Carol Spinney, I think that's the actor's name. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the Sesame Street, another one of my favorite shows, too.
Right. And I did I hope he's at the show tomorrow. Michael Keaton. His original name was Michael Douglas. He worked at WQED.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Michael Keaton. I met him there, and he said he was moving to, he was going to go to California, all right, go to Hollywood. And he asked me to do a portrait of him. I didn't know him that well. We had a few minutes, so we did a few funny shots with him and a cigar and an umbrella. And I don't know if he still has those photographs, but that was the first thing. A year later, I see him on a sitcom. He did a little cameo on a sitcom.
Right.
And then I didn't see him for a year. I guess they were prepping him because he did so well on his cameo. I guess they really wanted to prepare him. And
what advice would you give a young person looking to become a professional photographer?
Well, I have a joke about that. It says, do you know how to make $1 million as a photographer? And you start with $2 million. Right.
It's a very competitive business. And again, like picking up a piano and because you don't pick up a piano, but getting a piano and playing chopsticks, anybody can be a photographer. With everybody having a smartphone with the multiple high-resolution cameras, everybody's taking pictures. Doesn't mean you're a photographer. Just because you play the piano doesn't make you a musician. But again, you can continue to learn.
Right.
Billy Joel, again, Elton John, started on a piano at one time, and look how well they're respected right now. And you, as a photographer and artist, you started, and you were in a fortunate situation where you met Mr. Rogers. The chemistry was obviously excellent, and it grew into a lasting relationship, and this great honor that we're going to be bestowing upon you tomorrow with the introduction of the stamp. So just so many things. So don't be afraid to chase your dreams. If you have a talent, don't be afraid to use that talent in a career and as a basis of your life.
Absolutely. And I tend to believe that the art picks you. You have a decision to accept, but I didn't pick photography, it picked me. When I picked up my first camera, it was a used Yashica D, and I looked through that thing and I saw, I just connected.
There is a connection.
It picks you. I think that the talent picks you. It's in you, all right? You have to accept it, and you certainly have to have enough courage to do it, and to be foolhardy enough to pursue it when you're not really that good at it, but you want to be good at it, all right? And you've still got to make a living, and the commitment to it was intense. I mean, that's what I was. I was a photographer.
Right. You really have to be.
I was who I was.
You have to be absorbed in what you do and enjoy every minute of it. It's so rewarding.
Yeah.
But like any art, too, it can be frustrating. And people's opinions will vary. Every famous artist, musician, actor has people that think they're great and people that think they're not great. And, biased opinion, but, I mean, your work is incredible. But there will always be detractors. And that's the case in any business, and radio certainly too.
Well, I think I feel if I have detractors, I feel the same way about them as I do about the awards.
Right.
They're inconsequential. And they're okay. They're going to be there, but
things will kind of. I think things will just work themselves out.
Exactly.
Walt, who are some of your favorite photographers and some of the young photographers that are getting noticed in the business that you have the most respect for?
Michael Munway, I like his work. I'm really from I was introduced to photography, and my favorite ones were from the 50s and 60s. And like Rezard Horowitz was a master at his craft and special effects. He was doing special effects long before digital. And I actually invited him to Pittsburgh to do a presentation here. Sam Haskins. Ansel Adams, I learned from him black and white technique.
Yeah, there's a well-known name.
It's a well-known name.
Yeah, the master of black and white for sure.
Yes. Weston, Edward Weston. So I'm pretty much stuck in the old, the old school of photography.
I mean, we talked about the digital photography versus the photos on paper. And, I mean, it has changed, or maybe it hasn't. The concept is still the same. It's still a photograph. And
yes, it's an image made with light, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the camera technology. What kind of an influence has that? And my first camera was my mom's old camera, was a 620, a Kodak box camera, and it was really cool to use. If you flip up the viewfinder,
right,
and again it was kind of like a box shape,
right.
And you know, then we had the 110s and the 35 millimeter film. And does anybody under 30 or even under 40 remember a lot of those cameras? And you might see that in a museum, and it might be a case where you notice something. Oh, my great grandpa had one of those. But in my lifetime, I've just seen cameras evolve so much, and of course now everything being digital. But as I said, the concept is still the same.
You're right. The thing that doesn't change is what's in front of the camera. Everything behind the lens has changed quite a bit.
Right.
What it has done is we had part of our respect. Came from managing the craftsmanship of the photographs, making sure the color balance was right. Because in the old days when we shot film, each film emulsion, all right, it had a different color balance, a different response to light.
Right.
So what we did, we always tested each emulsion. We'd buy them in batches of maybe 1,000 sheets, or 1,000 rolls.
Right.
And test it and then balance it. Today, you can shoot in a fluorescent light in a Kmart, all right, with a digital camera, And the color is just gorgeous. It's better than anything you could produce with film. All right, so that part of the craftsmanship goes to the manufacturers of these amazing machines, all right, that can do that with light, that can balance it. The thing I liked about it was you could really spend more time seeing what you're shooting than having to fuss with exposure and f-stop and, right. and that sort of thing. So it did facilitate shooting, but it doesn't make you a better photographer because the vision is the only thing that can do that. The how you see things in relationship to each other in the moment.
As someone who's been a photographer for such a long time, Walt, did you enjoy the challenge of making those adjustments of the exposure, the shutter speed, things that people will kind of take for granted now, or you kind of like technology kind of doing everything for you, or does it kind of depend upon the situation?
I learned what I had to learn, all right?
Right.
In other words, I learned how to play my piano so I could play it well.
Exactly.
I did enjoy, sometimes we would have shooting scripts that involved five cameras and a 50-page shooting script to make one image. Today, you can do that in Photoshop, all right?
Right, there was no Photoshop back then.
No Photoshop.
I mean, things people do on Photoshop, I mean, jokes aside, you take out a picture of your ex, put in a mustache. I mean, I remember, story about when I was in school, you probably did it too. You'd draw little funny photos of your teacher when you were bored, and you always put a mustache on them or just make them look kind of silly.
Right.
And now it's like, well, you do the same thing with Photoshop. People photoshopping their ex out of the picture, making themselves look younger. Things you can do pretty quickly with basic computer skills. As an IT person, I can do a lot of wizardry. But I mean, anybody with software, it doesn't have to be an expensive program like Photoshop. It could be something shareware that you can download on from
exactly.
the internet, and you can just do some amazing things,
okay.
which is kind of the new version of what we did back in the 70s, where we just drew funny pictures of our teacher of our principal,
yeah,
and almost like where kids used to pass notes back and forth, like fold them up like a football, and toss them or just hand them. Of course, now we have tweeting. And we have Instagram and Snapchat
yeah.
and things that you and I did. And technology is pretty wonderful, but there is a certain mystique to that old school methods. But again, as we said, with photography, technology has changed. Things are automatic. People carry the smartphones in their pocket. But no smartphone, no fancy dancy camera can replace what a human with a natural gift for photography can do. Don't
right.
Don't think that anybody can take a photo of the quality that we're going to see on that stamp tomorrow or anything that you've done.
That's true. And the thing that the camera does add, I tend to say that it's only a technical device, but the technique, the image, does play an important role in getting the message across. Like I used to say that my photos, I like to have like dirty fingernail feel to it, like gritty and earthy.
Right. Yeah, and, it looks more real that way because a lot of things look stilted. They're in airbrushing.
Yeah, too clean.
No one ever looks quite as good as they do on a photo after all that work. You want it to get a regular person. And that was Mr. Rogers' charm. He was a regular guy. He felt like he was your uncle.
Yeah.
And you were special to him. Everybody was special.
Well, he could get his face to glow. His spirit, he could, it came out.
Yeah, he had a natural glowing because of his personality. I agree.
Yes. So, you had asked me about about my photography now. One of my reactions to digital photography, I began that like 1992. All right, I took four classes in digital imaging, Photoshop, and really committed myself to it because it was unavoidable. But at the same time, I was using Polaroid material, all right, to do imaging. I mean, commercial imaging. I was using instant slide film, which was it was like high contrast film on steroids that nobody would ever possibly want to use commercially. But I was
right.
I was using it. I figured out a way to use it, and also instant SX70s. We're able to manipulate those to turn them into like painterly images by moving the ink around before it dried.
Right.
And then I was doing a series called Image and Emulsion Transfers. Image transfer, you know, when you pull the Polaroid apart, the image transfers from film to a sheet of...
Right. The excitement of unwrapping that Polaroid,
right.
Flipping it out, and there's your photo. And if it wasn't very good, it's like, oh, I wasted film. Or you say, well, this is just an awesome picture.
Right, well,
that excitement that you had, I remember that.
I was able to take that image and put it on watercolor paper.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do that, yeah.
Yeah, so, but you can't do that anymore. Polaroid's out of business.
Yeah.
And there was also another technique of taking the image. We were using 8x10 Polaroid, and by heating it up and sliding the image, you could take the image and slide it off the sheet and put it onto another substrate, either a clear plastic or watercolor paper or countertop, for that matter. I did a photograph of eggs and ham, and I transferred it to a saucer. All right, so I had a Polaroid image.
That's pretty cool. Things that you can do.
When Polaroid went out of business, you know, that was, you know, the thing that I was happy with, the thing that was making, that I was able to produce for people that was way different from what others were doing, went away.
Was it digital photography that was kind of the death of Polaroid? Did they not adapt to the changes in photography? And that happens. We see that with retailers. One example being Walmart. It seems like a lot of them. I mean, we had in Columbus, Ohio. We had Gold Circle.
Yeah.
And they went by the wayside. I mean, other reasons, but it seems like Walmart is it. And when I was a kid, we had multiple discount department stores, and things don't. Do they not change with the times? Sun TV and Appliance in the Columbus area, they went out of business. I think they didn't keep up with the competitors, with Best Buy and Circuit City, of course, they're gone now also coming into play. Is that also something that occurs in the camera business? It seemed people, you would ask a young person, well, who are the major brands of cameras? They'd say, well, Canon. HP makes them. I mean, those are
Nikon.
Those are computer accessory manufacturers. Yeah. Of course, a digital camera essentially is a computer accessory or peripheral. But to me, camera manufacturers, well, yeah, Nikon, and they certainly were camera manufacturers and are still in the business, so they've adapted. But you know, Pentax, remember them? Right. Kodak and Polaroid, and they're gone or just shadows of their former.
Right, and a lot of the manufacturers that were making video cameras are now making still cameras, like Sony, for instance.
Right.
But
so cameras,
Kodak,
yeah.
Kodak and Nikon joined together to make the first digital camera back. I was actually going to a community college in Ohio, right in Cleveland, and we had one of the first digital cameras. It cost $24,000.
Yeah, so they do need to adapt to the times and the changes. But you remember the Sony Mavicas? They took the photos and put them on a floppy disk.
Right.
Those were really good cameras. And they were a few hundred dollars, but they were really good.
Right.
And then we had the different kinds of digital film, and now your smartphone takes it on this micro SD that's not even the size of a fingernail.
It's a lousy telephone, but it's a great camera.
Yeah, it's just incredible. I mean, that you can take 32 gigabytes of information, which is 7 DVDs worth of data,
right,
and put it on this tiny micro SD that you can barely see. It's so small, you need to put it in an adapter to put it inside your computer. It's just incredible what they can do.
Right, and the cost is, the cost has gone from, like, storing... like 5 gigabytes of data. My original storage device cost $3,000 for 5 gigabytes.
Oh yeah, a computer the size of this room, a disk space the size of this room. Now you can fit on a little tiny card.
Right.
And as I joked earlier, I wish gas prices were like technology prices that just keep going down and down. What you can get. I bought a digital camera the other day, which I'm using during my trip here to Pittsburgh for $49. Takes some very good pictures, and it's a Kodak, and I have a Canon ELPH 100 at the house also. So these cameras that are under $100 and the power that they can provide. But bottom line is, it doesn't make you a photographer. You don't pick up a musical instrument, and you're not going to play a guitar like Eddie Van Halen just because you buy a fancy dancing electric guitar. You're not going to be Walt Tseng or Ansel Adams or any other genius of a photographer just by picking up your smartphone or picking up a cool camera that you got at Best Buy. Right. It's a good start, but there is a gift that you have to have, and practice makes perfect. And again, every photograph that you take is a learning experience.
Yeah, right.
And I can imagine, you know, Mr. Rogers being a program that's educational, entertaining, and unique in so many ways.
Yeah.
Every photo that you took was a learning experience and enriched you. And what a privilege. I don't know what else to say. I mean, capping with this decision to use your work on the stamp.
It's an honor. I mean, it's an honor. It really is an honor.
Walt, do you have any interesting stories to tell about Mr. Rogers? I'm sure there are things that occurred in your friendship with him.
Everything was
enriched your life, or just made you giggle a few times.
Well, the only one is the one that I laid out earlier.
Right.
And the
King Friday the 13th. Well, that was good.
Yeah.
That I could just see Mr. Rogers saying that, and just totally unexpected with the great timing.
Yeah. I was very doubtful about it myself at the time, but I was young and foolish. But the foolishness paid off. I used to go with Fred. There was a place here. The original name was the Home for Crippled Children. And they had changed the name, I guess, because of the political correctness of the name. But when Fred would go, these kids would just light up. I mean, every photograph was
like better person to visit.
Yeah, it was like photographing our comet. You know, every photograph, he was there, and the kids were just agog with him. And he really, really brought them out of themselves. I mean, the facility itself was amazing. I used to photograph for them as well. And what they did with these children was amazing. And when Fred Gehrer was like icing on the cake, it just like took these kids to the top. And the love was almost painful. It was so intense. It was wonderful.
So he can really brighten somebody's day. And I guess that was part of it. I remember watching it myself.
Yeah.
Maybe I was having a bad day. And I watched Mr. Rogers and everything disappeared. It's like, okay, I am special.
He always said the right thing.
Right. Yeah. And he was serious about it, too. So many shows nowadays, are they really serious? You know, all these reality shows that aren't real, they don't seem too real to me.
Yeah, I've heard that he wasn't real fond of Sesame Street. I think the reason was that they dealt with your brain and not your heart. And he said the kids really needed to grow emotionally before you can grow intellectually. So the emphasis with him is like on growing emotionally. They become a full person to understand yourself, to like yourself, and to love others. And Sesame Street was all about learning, right? About achievement. But the combination of the both, I think, is a good idea.
Yeah, I watched both, and there are things in common. Sesame Street had a neighborhood also, and of course they had puppets. So there are things in common. I guess that's a little surprising. To me, it seemed to me that all the PBS shows, again, with Zoom and the Electric Company that I also watched, that they kind of fed off each other. And I guess, you know, Mr. Rogers, too, not afraid to say what's on his mind. And if he doesn't agree with something, he will tell you.
Oh, yeah, well, sure. He did that to Congress, right?
Oh yeah.
That speech there.
Yeah, that has become a viral YouTube video. And I cried a bit when I watched that. Well, what a feeling. He brought people to their knees, and they listened. People, you know, he talks, they listen.
Yeah, if you ever mistook Fred as being simple, he is not.
No, he's obviously a very smart man. That was for sure.
Yes. Yeah, he is. He knew what to say and when to say it. He knew when to be quiet, when to speak, and when to speak.
So, Walt, I see you have a smartphone. Pretty cool little gadget there.
Yeah, I just got it, actually.
I know you have Facebook and LinkedIn. Are you a big selfie taker? Do you use Instagram and Snapchat and those? Or what are your thoughts about all these apps that, you know, and not just young people of all ages. We have, you know, grandmas who are more addicted to Instagram and Facebook than their grandkids are, as you know.
Well,
what are your thoughts about selfies and Instagram and Snapchat and all these
here's my thought
all these
about
little toys?
The cell phone. Kids know more about the color of the fingernail polish on their thumbs than they do about what a pine tree looks like. All right?
Right.
You watch young kids sitting in a restaurant, all right, out on the sidewalk. They're not talking to each other. They're on their phones.
Right. And
I've seen
people talk to each other when they're on a date by texting back and forth. It's like, well, I'm more comfortable this way. Give me a break. I mean, what happened to talking to each other?
Yes, so much more is said and so little wisdom coming out of it, I think, that there's more words being said, there's more things being spoken, but a lot less wisdom, I think, coming out of those words. A lot less is actually said, I think.
And I agree. To me, I've always been around technology since I took computer science classes when I was 10 years old, but I understand the limitations, and I spend too much time on Facebook. I fully admit to it. But you don't want to let it run your life. You want to have it as an enhancement to what you do and to enjoy it. And sometimes it's a case where it's not fun anymore, like any addiction. People feel like they must be on their Facebook or Instagram. They get withdrawal symptoms if they're not on it for an hour. The first thing that they do when they wake up before they go to the bathroom. It's almost like when a lot of people smoked, it was the first cigarette in the morning. Well, a lot of people, it's the first Facebook post in the morning. They wake up before they go to the bathroom, before the shower. They're on their Facebook, literally.
Yes, I know.
Again, I didn't like the first cigarette in the morning. I don't know how else to say it. It really is an addiction to some people, and not just kids. We're talking about all ages.
Okay, how far do you have to drive from your home and return when you forgot your phone at home?
Yeah.
And when you were a kid, all right? Your phone traveled to, like, the doorway in your living room or your kitchen. That's as far as your phone ever went, right?
Oh, yeah. People are tethered to it.
And look what happened. We built a beautiful country with that. Right.
And understand, with in today's society where people want everything now and you're constantly in communication with your clients, your friends, your family, someone like myself in business, I do need to have my phone so that I can communicate with people. But I think even I take it overboard. You know, I came here, I brought a charger, I brought a power brick to charge the phone, to charge the phone independently of being plugged in. So I do prepare for it, because I took the shuttle bus from the hotel over here, so I don't have the cup I might keep in my car or at my house. But if it is not something that's being used for business, or there's not really a compelling reason, goodness sakes, put the phone in your pocket for a few hours and talk the old-fashioned way. There really are reasons why that's a good idea.
Well, good.
And try to curb the addiction, but understand that there are good things about technology. It is a safety measure. The phone's available in an emergency. You know, Pittsburgh is a tricky city to get around, even with someone as good as I am at directions and navigation. So Google Maps and GPS are your friend.
Absolutely.
And yeah, the weather is good, because weather can change just like it does anywhere in this part of the country. So there are safety measures with your phone and convenience measures. But goodness sakes, if you don't post a picture of your cat today on Instagram, the world's not going to end. If you don't tell the world what you had for breakfast on Twitter, the world's not going to end.
Yeah, we are all foodies.
You won't self-destruct.
Right. Yeah, it begs the question of who's in charge.
we won't self-destruct if we go a day without posting these things that are really more for entertainment value.
Yeah. Yep. I remember, as a kid, 7 o'clock in the morning in the summertime, we were out with our 13 buddies and friends.
Right.
Clearing a ball field, We used stones for the bases.
Yeah. People... They still doing that, and if they do, they got to take a picture of everything. God forbid you don't show the world, tell the world what it is that you're doing.
You need to have a group that's in charge of the ball game. You need to have a uniform. You need to have a sponsor. All right, you can't play here after this certain hours. Why is that?
Society, just has changed, and as we were saying about the smartphone. So, bottom line is, well, you're not a big user of Instagram and Snapchat,
just enough to stay in touch with my family. I'm actually the oldest of 12 kids, And we all stay in touch. We're all still alive, and we're all...
That's good. Right? So you understand the importance of technology and the safety of it.
Yes, yes, yes.
But we would certainly agree, people of all ages, if you feel you're addicted to it, you probably are.
Use it as a camera.
Right. But understand that doesn't make you a gifted photographer just by picking it up. There are still... And additionally, if you are a photographer... You certainly can take photos with your phone, but that doesn't mean you don't have to buy the fancy equipment, because there is still a place for it.
Right. Yeah, I heard a story. I actually read it in the Photo District News about a photographer. She was doing a fashion assignment in Italy and had a Hasselblad, digitized Hasselblad system, probably worth $40,000 or $50,000, and the system went down, and she finished the job shooting on an iPhone 4. And they loved it.
Yeah.
So it's the photographer. It's not the equipment.
In a pinch, it's amazing what these devices can do. But
in a pinch. I mean, yeah. They're excellent. They're excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. But that doesn't make you a photographer of the quality of Walt Tsang or Ansel Adams or any of the people that we've discussed.
Right, right.
But we talked about, we do encourage people that have an interest in photography or the arts to pursue that.
Absolutely.
Go with your dreams.
Absolutely.
But as you say, it can be a difficult business, and get in touch with the right people, make the right decisions, make smart decisions, and see what happens.
Right. And I taught photography. Actually, are you familiar with the Pittsburgh Filmmakers?
A little bit. I know that there are many movies that have been filmed in the area.
Yeah, well, Pittsburgh Filmmakers. There actually it was a neighborhood photo and film for the community. A friend of mine and I started back in the early 70s. And we had guest speakers come in, and we actually were teaching different varieties of photography. We had basic courses, and then we were teaching non-silver courses. We experimented with the mercury, the old wet plate system.
Yep, I was a chemistry major, that anything with mercury definitely brings back memories.
Yeah,
mercury has very unique qualities.
Yeah, right. But then we started with that and started teaching there. And that was way before digital, back in the early to mid-70s. But they have a facility now out in East, I believe it's in East Liberty, and it's grown into like quite an organization, and they're teaching all the universities courses there.
Yeah, many things, many ways to pursue an interest in photography, being one of the most honorable things people can do. It preserves memories, and it has evolved, but the basic premise hasn't changed too much. Almost out of time here, Walt. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. What an interesting conversation. What an honor to be face-to-face with the gentleman. Walt is the gentleman who took the photograph that is on the Mr. Rogers commemorative stamp that will be unveiled at the WQED studios tomorrow. And Scott, Terry, and I will be there, along with many others. Adam Lepp here, WWGH Radio, The Talking Place. Thank you very much for listening.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, Republican National Convention, inside. I am sitting right now inside the Quicken Loans Arena looking at the Oregon delegation from the rafters.
No kidding, you're among the seats.
I am in the seats right now. I can see Oregon and Indiana and New Hampshire. I am in the arena.
Wow. Say, Scott, were you there last night for Cruz?
I was, and let me tell you, one of the discussions yesterday certainly was on the division feeling here at the Republican National Convention, and if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boos in this arena.
No kidding.
To Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump.
We welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited. This is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal convention. Probably the biggest star-studded convention you've ever seen. We've got huge, huge stars. We've got Gary Busey, LaToya Jackson, Jose Canseco, some of the really, really big names from Celebrity Apprentice, and I think it really, really is.
To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, commenting on Hillary Clinton.
Do you have, in closing this week, do you have a favorite Hillary Clinton story?
Well, you know, I would see her quite often. One of the things I most remember her about was when Sacagawea was introduced. She was in charge of that, the whole ceremony and everything. She was the master of ceremonies. And we had all the Indians there and everything. The Indians, every tribe was represented. And she did a beautiful job with that. But she's always so friendly. And it upsets me when I hear people talk about her the way they do, because that isn't her. And I don't know why it's ended up that way, you know? But if somebody would explain it to me, I'd like to know.
To Scott Spears at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, with conservative legend Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Quicken Loans Arena, and we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952, so you can count them up.
WWGH Radio, your place for politics. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Catch us on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address: 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number: 740-225-4495. Webpage: crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number: 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair. On Thursday, March the 22nd, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM will be broadcasting 12 to 5 p.m. from the Heinz History Museum in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from the set of the Mr. Rogers television series. WWGH's Scott Spears, Terry Tackett, Adam Lepp, and special correspondent Columbus, Ohio radio legend Steve Boom Boom Cannon.
And be sure that your technical people bring a wireless mic, because I'm one of those individuals that likes to get out into the crowd or with people and discuss various aspects of that kind of entertainment for children.
We'll be on air with David Newell, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Speedy delivery, Scott. Here I am again with delivering some news, I understand.
Then on Friday, March the 23rd, WWGH Radio will broadcast live from the Mr. Rogers studio at WQED, where the United States Postal Service will be unveiling the Mr. Rogers stamp. We will be live 11 to 1 p.m. on Friday. Special call-ins will be made to the Charlie Evers Show on March the 22nd between 10 a.m. and 12 noon, and Friday the 23rd between 1:10 and 3 p.m. Don't miss this amazing event on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
And I'll just say right now, Speedy delivery, Scott.
Thank you, David.
This is Patty Wooster with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. Are you looking for a church that still teaches that the Bible is the Word of God?
Preview.
A church with a passion for outreach. A church that still holds Sunday morning and Sunday evening services, along with youth group and midweek Bible study. Community Christian Fellowship, 209 East Water Street, Prospect, Ohio. ProspectCCF.com, 740-494-2222.
Vanover Village Townhouses, located in Marysville, now renting 2 and 3 bedroom townhouses. Telephone number 937-642-3692.
This is George Casotas, and you are listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content.
This is Mary Ellen Withrow, and you can catch my friend Charlie Evers every Wednesday from 10:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. and Friday 1:10 p.m. until 3 p.m. on the Faybank Charlie Evers Show, right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Now, also on Thursdays, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
Hello. If you listen and enjoy A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, help A Voice of a People to be better. A $10 donation a week pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People. And so by doing, you will have the privilege of your name, business, organization, church, or your favorite charity mentioned or announced during our broadcast and entered into a drawing which will be held weekly. Prizes will vary. I also want to say this. Anonymous donators are welcome and will be respected. Remember, if you want to make A Voice of a People a better program, a $10 a week donation / pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People.
Every Monday and Tuesday from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue, phone number 740-387-9050.
News and weather every hour on WWGH Radio are supported by One Piece or a Truckload Hauling. Scrap hauling, cleanouts, trash removal. Telephone number 740-244-9409.
It's now time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Brought to you live from the WWGH Newsroom.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. Current Ohio Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor recently appeared on WWGH Radio and described when things with her and Governor Kasich went south, and advice Governor Kasich has given her for running for governor of Ohio.
As we wrap up here, when do you think the relationship with you and Governor Kasich, politically or just friendly, went south?
You know, first of all, let me say thank you, because you were very honest about what you wanted to talk about, and I agreed to do, you know, have this conversation. You know, I don't know that, again, I don't know that I can answer that question. You know, I feel that I've been a, I feel like I have done my part and have always wanted to be able to look myself in the mirror and say, I do the right things.
When people hear Governor Kasich say he's given you advice, now, you don't have to take his advice if you didn't like it, but why is that question hard to answer if he did or didn't?
He's not been involved in the campaign. I mean, he never has been, and he's not today. I think that very simply answers that question.
So why would he say that?
You have to ask John Kasich that.
And now, turning to weather, rounding out the work week Friday, mostly sunny skies and cold with a high temperature of 41 degrees, a low temperature of 23 degrees. Kicking off the weekend Saturday, increasing clouds with a high temperature of 39 degrees, a low temperature of 24 degrees. And rounding out the weekend Sunday, sunny, breezy, and chilly.